Therefore, Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, according to time, God's time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, I noticed there's a little thing, and I mentioned this the other day. There in verse 2, it says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. I want to talk about grace, standing in grace, and what grace does. Grace, where grace comes, and God gives his grace, his sovereign free grace. Where the grace of God comes, it brings salvation. It brings salvation, and it brings transformation. You know, you keep this and look in Colossians chapter 1 just a moment. You remember that Titus says, when the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Now, how did the grace of God come? Christ brought grace. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace just didn't appear out of the ether. Grace just didn't just something that we conjured up. Grace came, and it comes in power, and God, and it appeared through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the Old Testament, it appeared through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so when grace appeared, it appeared by Christ. And when grace comes, Christ and the Holy Spirit's the one that brings it. And wherever it is, it brings salvation. Don't try to bring salvation. It don't offer salvation. It doesn't give you an opportunity to accept it or reject it. It doesn't make it to be an offer. It doesn't make it to be an opportunity for you to have a chance to be saved. Where grace comes, it actually brings salvation with it. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. Brings it. Here in Colossians 1:12 it says this, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us. Delivered us, that word delivered means saved us. From the power of darkness, and watch this, and hath translated us. Actually took us from one place to another. Took us from one kingdom to another. From one power to another power. And who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now, when the grace of God appears, back over in Romans 5, it transforms a person's character. Where grace comes, it transforms a person's character. I mean, it changes his character. It changes, it transforms all their relationships. Their relationships change. And the Scriptures are plain, the Scriptures are clear, and the Scriptures are emphatic about us being, where the grace of God comes, being new creatures. And being new creatures, not just anyway, but in Christ, we're made new creatures. It's plain and clear and emphatic about us being partakers of the divine nature. That Christ in us is the holiest, is the hope of glory, and we're made partakers. The nature of God comes in us. And that's how in the world, how could you have fellowship and communion and desire God and call on God and enjoy God without having the nature of God in you? Because there was a time we were enemies of God. When we were enemies, we were reconciled by the death of Christ. And so you see, beloved, then that we ceased, and we find out this by the grace of God, that we ceased to be our own. But that we've been bought with a price. And as we look at this statement here in Romans 5:2, it says, this grace wherein we stand. And I want to look at how this grace that comes to us, that transforms us, how it changes our relationships with so many people and so many things. And the first relationship it changed when grace appeared and comes to us and brought to us, it changes our relationship with God the Father. Look what it says there in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. And before we were enemies in our mind by wicked works. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, without God and without hope in this world. And Romans 8:7 says the carnal mind is enmity against God. And it is enmity against God. I mean, beloved, when the gospel starts coming and the grace of God starts appearing to us, the first thing that we understand is that this God is not the God we thought He was, not like we believed He was, and certainly wasn't the God we first accepted when we got converted. And so our carnal mind was enmity against Him. But now we have peace with God. We didn't make the peace. We didn't establish the peace. Christ made peace through the blood of His cross. And because of that, we're no longer under the wrath of God. God can never, ever be angry with us ever again. Because Christ made peace by the blood of His cross. We're no longer strangers, but we're now sons of God. And beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ is peace. And everybody wants peace. You know, you ask on all these beauty pageants and all that, they'll say, what would you like, if you could do anything, what would be? Have world peace. There ain't gonna never be world peace. Our Lord said, as long as the world stands, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Ain't that right? But the thing is that we got peace with the one that can destroy both body and soul, send it to hell. And we didn't make it. Christ made it. And He brought it to us. And when we see Christ, who was delivered for our offenses, raised for our justification, and we believe that, we have peace with God. And you know, you all remember this. Let me ask if you remember this. Back when you was just in religion, every time something went wrong, you thought, oh my, what have I done? God's displeased with me. I've done something wrong. Something's wrong, you know. When you all started out on your trip, you had a flat tire and a fit of bed, still in religion. Oh Lord, we done messed up. We just started out and we shouldn't have started this trip. God, we done something wrong for sure. That's what we'd have done. But no longer look at that way. We no longer even think in terms like that. We have peace with God. God's not angry. And we are not angry. We don't have no more enmity in our heart. We don't have no more. We're not enemies in our minds anymore. Our minds, we have the mind of Christ. We have the peace of God in our heart. And then it not only changes our relationship with God the Father, but it changes our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Look down here in verse 12. It changes our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. For all have sinned. Well, how in the world, if that's the condition, what's going to happen? Well, look up, verse 19. This is what I love. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Now watch this. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Oh my. I read it to you here. When we were without strength, when we were ungodly, do you know what Christ did? He died for us. And I was, you know, when Christ died on that cross, I wasn't born yet. But I was without strength to save myself. without strength to do anything, and ungodly, without God, without Christ in this world. And when we were like that, what did our Lord Jesus Christ do? He died for us. And when we were sinners, what did God do? He commended His love toward us, and Christ died for us. And oh, beloved, His blood justified us and cleansed us. In verse 9, look what it says there. Much more than being justified by His blood. That's what saved us from the wrath of God. And oh, look what it says here in verse 10. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. If He did this while we were enemies, how much more, since He's sitting at the right hand of God and we're reconciled, shall we be saved? Oh, beloved, His death and His righteousness, His death is put away our sins, and His righteousness is imputed to us. Look what it says back up here in Romans 4:23. Where Abraham, where it says, therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. It says, now it wasn't written for Abraham's sake alone that it was imputed to him. God never put that in the Scriptures, you know, that Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. It wasn't put in there just for Abraham's sake, because it was like it was he's the only one. But for us also. God put that for us also. To whom it shall be imputed if we believe on Him that raised up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. See, His righteousness is imputed to Him. And back there in verse 2. Now I love this. Look at this. By whom also we have this grace. We stand in this grace. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. By whom? By the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what would we do without Him? What would we do without our Lord Jesus Christ? Our standing is in Him and Him alone. You see, beloved, we believe God's record of His Son. We believe what God said about His Son. And we believe what our Lord Jesus Christ says, no man comes unto the Father but by Me. We believe what God says, you know, he that believeth on the Son has life. He that believeth not, the wrath of God abides on him. We believe that record that God gave, that life is in His Son. And he that hath the Son has this life. And I believe that. And now we know that boasting is excluded, and we can conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So I tell you, grace changed our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, beloved, the only righteousness we have is Him. Our only standard is Him. Our access is by Him. And then it changes our relationship to the Holy Spirit. Look what it says down here in verse 5, Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God, He, the Holy Spirit, shed abroad in our hearts the love of God by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Oh my, we wouldn't have any strength, we wouldn't have any knowledge of Christ, we wouldn't have any God's love in our hearts had not the Holy Spirit put it in there. And then it says He was given unto us. Well, look what, you keep Romans 5, look with me in John 14 just a moment. John 14, He was given unto us. You remember when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and he says, this is the promise. This is the promise that we've received. And what promise was that? The promise of the Holy Spirit that He would come. And the Holy Spirit, you know, He was promised to give. And our Lord promised that He would come to us. And that He would come to us, He would do certain things. He would do certain things for us, do certain things in us, and teach us certain things. And our Lord Jesus said here in John 14 and 16, He said, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, capitalized, that He may abide with you forever. That's the title of the Holy Spirit, a Comforter. Christ is a Comforter. God is the God of all comfort, and I tell you, Christ comforts us in all our afflictions. And so He said, I'll give you another Comforter. And I'll pray the Father, and He'll do it. And He said, who is this Comforter? Even the Spirit of truth. Whom the world cannot receive. The world cannot receive the truth. It can't receive the Spirit of the truth. Why not? Because it seeth him not. And it don't know him, but you know him. How come you know him? Because he dwells in you. He came and took up his abode in you. He came and revealed Christ to you. He came and brought grace to you. He came and talked to you about your sin. He came and talked to you about the Son of God. He came and talked to you about the blood of Christ. And all, beloved, and he shall be in you. And I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And how am I going to come to you? By the Holy Ghost. I'll shed abroad God's love in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but you'll see me. How come we'll see? By the Holy Ghost. Because I live, you shall live also. And all he was given unto us to, by promise to teach us, to guide us, to comfort her. And I'll tell you something else. He's the one who witnesses to us. How in the world do we know that we're children of God? How do we know we're God's children? The Scripture says the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We wouldn't know we're the children of God without the Holy Ghost. And then it changes our relationship. This grace that comes changes our relationship to the law. Look down here in verse 20 of Romans chapter 5. Changes our relationship to the law. And now, before we were condemned, before we were guilty, whether we felt it or not. You know, when you break the law, whether you feel guilty or not, you know, when you break it, you are guilty and you got to pay for it. And they're condemned and we were guilty whether we felt it or not. We were under his curse. And look what it says here in verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. When the law came to us, it made our sin much more sinful. It made our sin appear to be what it really is. Offensive to God. And when the law comes, it makes us see our inability and impotence to do anything about it and to change it. And sin finds its strength by the law. But oh, beloved, look what it says. But where sin abounded, what grace do? It abounded a heap sight more. It's super abounded. And you know, sin finds its strength in the law. And I've told you this so many times. You lay down the law to somebody, and you'll see just what I mean. Sin finds its strength in the law. You lay down the law to your wife, to your husband, to your children, and very, very few, and see what happens. You'll start watching the sparks fly. Very, very few people can bear someone having authority over them. Very few people can bear that. And whenever that they come bringing that heavy hand of the law down on them, demanding obedience, demanding subjection, demanding things to be my way. And beloved, when you start bearing and bringing down that law on them, their hatred, their resistance, their struggle, their murmuring is proof of their sin. And when God starts bringing down that law on us, we find ourselves, distinct. Until he breaks that wheel. He breaks that wheel. And I tell you, you know, it's like that little boy. He says, I told you to sit down. I don't want to sit down. I said sit down. I don't want to sit down. If you don't sit down. Well, he sat down. He said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside. That's the way the law works. We may sit down, but we stand there still standing up on the inside. And whenever you try to lay the law down, that's the difference between grace and law. The law works wrath in the person that the law is bearing down on. And the law works wrath also to that person. The law brings wrath to that person and works wrath back in that person. And beloved, what Christ comes, he comes and he destroys. That the grace came and brought us out from under his condemnation and his guilt and his power. I mean, you just, it's very few people, very, very few people can bear someone having authority over. And oh my. And then that's why it says we're not under law, but under grace. We've dealt with this back here in Romans 6:14. We dealt with this Wednesday night. It says here in Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. That word dominion means authority, power, rule. And why won't it have power over you? Because you're not under the law, but you're under grace. You're under grace. We're under not a law, but we're under grace. Grace is covenant. We're not under the law as a covenant. We're not under His curse. We're not under His condemning power. We're under the reign of grace. The power of life, the power of love, the power of liberty. And because of that, we won't continue in sin. And because of this grace wherein we stand, it changes our relationship with the power of sin. It says, sin shall not have dominion over you. And oh, beloved, our Lord, blood cleanses us from the guilt. Where the guilt is, when the guilt's gone, that's freedom from the power of sin. Anybody here feel the guilt and condemnation of their sin before God right now? You know why you don't? Because you're not under law. You're under grace. Christ brought you out from under His guilt. And if the guilt's gone, there's freedom from His power. And sin, oh my soul, this is manifested in so many ways. It is deceitful and it's deceiving. It's hard and it's hardening. But grace brings us out from under His power. And then look with me over in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Let me show you where grace, talking about grace changing our relationships, transforming us in our relationships with things in this world. First, it changed and transformed our relationship with God the Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, and to the law. And watch what else it says here. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 3, watch what it said. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch it. Who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us, save us from this present evil world. Right now. According to the will of God our Father. Now anybody that lives in this world knows it's an evil world. I mean, it's evil wherever you look. I mean, you look political world, it's evil. Social world, it's evil. Religious world's evil. World, evil everywhere. Everywhere. And we once walked according to the course of this world, walked in all of its evilness. But Christ chose us out of it, called us out of it, redeemed us from it, and yet we're in it, but we're not of it. And now we say, how many times we say, this world is upside down. This world is just, is awful, the things, the way the things. I don't think the world's ever been any worse. But that's what they said in the first century. That's why Paul, he wrote that. He wrote that when he was probably about 55 years old, somewhere in that neck of the woods. And I mean, 1900 years ago, he wrote down here that Christ had delivered us from this present evil world. That world was evil right then. It was evil 100 years later, it's evil 100 years later, and it'll be evil when you and I are gone. But He saved us from it. Didn't leave us in it. Didn't leave us in the course of it. Didn't leave us in our love of it. He saved us from it. And we're in it, but we're not of it. And oh, thank God for that. And how did He do it? According to the will of God our Father. And oh my. And then it changes our relationship to good works. Back over in Romans chapter 5. Let me show you this. It changes our relationship. Transforms us to this relationship to good works. You see, you hear about people say all the time, said, well, he's a good fellow. He's an awful good man. Well, we find out where grace comes that we're not good men. Look what it says down there in verse 7. We weren't good men. We certainly weren't righteous men. Just scarcely for a righteous man will one die. What he's saying by that is that, you know, if a righteous man is put in a position to die, scarcely somebody might take that righteous man's place. Said, I'm not righteous, but he is, so take me in his place. And then, you know, maybe even some would die for a good man. Somebody would say, well, I'd die for that good man. And we come to find out we weren't righteous or we weren't good. And until grace came, we trusted in our good works. We trusted in our goodness for salvation. We trusted in our good works for our blessings. And when grace came, it showed us that at our best was just nothing but filthy rags. Our righteousnesses were nothing but filthy rags. And now we understand by the grace of God that our good works did not contribute to our salvation. Our bad works never kept us from salvation. And our bad works still don't keep us from blessings. And our good works don't earn us a blessing. And that our good works, if we have them at all, it's because God in grace ordained them to us and us in them before the world ever began. We don't do them to get. We do them because we've already got. Ain't that right? And let me tell you something. Anybody, and if you do a good work, mark it down. You don't know you've done it. And if you know you've done it, you've done destroyed. You've made it a bad one. That's a mysterious thing. That's a mysterious thing. That's why the Lord says, you know, you've done this, you've done that. And they said, Lord, when did we do that? And all, beloved, you know, we've not been saved by our good works, but I will say this. But because we're saved, and where Paul wrote, you know, he told Agrippa and them, he said, I preach the repentance toward God and do works meet for repentance. And that means if you have repented and you have been saved by the grace of God, it'll be evidenced by your character, be evidenced by your spirit, be evidenced by how you treat other people, evidenced by how you act in this world. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But now the next thing says, we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, how in the world are you going to get around that? I don't know. I don't want to get around any of it. Do you? You don't want to believe it. And let me show you something else here in Romans 5. And I think this, a change in our relationship, changing and transforming our relationship with so many things. Look what it says here in verse 3 of Romans 5. We stand in this grace and we rejoice in the hope of God's blessed glory that He gave us in Christ. And not only do we glory in God, but we glory in our tribulations. And that means, beloved, that we don't resist them. We don't fight them. We don't get mad about them. We don't get angry about them. We don't blame anybody for them. And this word tribulation means our trials. Because we know this, that tribulation works patience. And patience means that we just wait on God. That this thing will pass. This thing will have its end. And patience, when we have this patience, and patience means, beloved, just enduring, just wait. It means not just sitting down twiddling your thumb, well, since we get this over with, it means that you're actually in going on with your life, but you're waiting and you're enduring and you're knowing that things is going to come to an end. And when we go through this tribulation that works this patience and we wait on God, it gives us experience as we see that God helps us and carries us through these trials, and experience gives us hope. And then hope don't make us ashamed. We're not ashamed of our trials. We're not ashamed of our afflictions. We're not ashamed of God, of the experiences that God's given us, because the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you, look at the people we've known over the years. Ruby, right now, with the affliction she has, said this morning, I said, how are you finished? I'm still off a week. Said, it's my heart. I'll never get any better. And she rejoices in this, that this may be the trial that takes her home. Just this morning I said, wouldn't it be wonderful if you're sitting there and I was preaching to you, and right through as I got through preaching, you just closed your eyes and went on to be with the Lord. She said, you ever reckon that's ever happened? It happened to Mr. Spurgeon one time. He was preaching, to a woman. She was amening him, and she sitting there just rejoicing in the truth. And he watched her go. Said, watch the light go out of her eyes. Just close her eyes and go. And he preaching, and he says, the Lord's taking that dear sister home. He just kept on preaching, said, to the table. I'll look that up for you, put it in the bulletin. Wouldn't that be something? And that's what, you know, when Floyd was sick, he kept talking about, oh, I'm going to get to go home. I get to go home. Huh? Oh, when we were unconverted, all our trials was considered our enemies. Man, this is against me. Why's God treating me so tough? Why's God treating me this way? I'm a good person. But oh, beloved, maybe we consider them our enemies. Now we consider them for our good. And he read it tonight. We know that all things, that means comprehends everything. Work. They're working. God said, I just, your dross to consume and your gold to refine. Sanctify to you your deepest distress. And look at me show you. Keep Romans 5, and let me show you something over here. This is 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'll tell you something, beloved, the older we get, I know this from experience and from about so many other people I've seen as went through in their lives. The older you get, the greater the trials, the deeper the waters, the hotter the fire. Abraham was tried, he's worst in his older years. Scott Richardson was tried. Henry Mahan, in his older he got, the worse his affliction got. And that's the way God means for us. You know, He don't put little old bitty canoes in the middle of the ocean. And when we get started with just little old bitty barks, but buddy, as we grow in grace and God teaches us and instructs us, and if He's got His, He'll take you, boy, and the water just get deeper and deeper and deeper, and the fire gets hotter and hotter, and the weight sometimes gets heavier. And He only does His people that way. If He don't ever try you, if He don't never send afflictions to you, if He don't never send great burdens to you, it's a dead giveaway that you're not one of His. And look what He said here in 1 Peter 1:6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, just a season now. If need be, if it's necessary, if need be, who decides what needs to be? We certainly don't. The church don't. The preacher don't. Well, who does? God does. For a season, if need be, you are in heaviness. It's heavy. And it's a heaviness. It weighs on your heart. It weighs on your mind. It weighs on your soul. Weighs on your faith. Weighs on your love. Weighs on your grace. Weighs on your patience. If you be in heaviness through a whole bunch of temptations at one time. But here's the need be. Here's the result of it. That the trying of your faith, your faith being much more precious than of gold. And I tell you, they go every day. Say, gold's reached a new high today. Gold's always been up above 60. That's just going on and on. Gotta buy gold. God said that your faith. You say, how you got much, preacher? He said it's more precious than gold. And all that gold, all it'll do is perish, though it be tried with fire. But your faith will be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love Him, and whom though you see Him not now, yet you believe. You rejoice with joy that you know Christ, that He's your Savior and your Redeemer, and you'll see Him someday. with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You see, we're more than conquerors through Him. And these are a lot of afflictions, and they're just for a moment. And let me show you. I'll tell you something else that grace transforms for us. It transforms our relationship to death. Our relationship to death. Let me show you that over here in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, my, my. I know this is so. I know this is so. I've seen it happen too many times. And I certainly hope it'll be that way with me when the time comes. You know, before grace came, death is called the grim reaper. He'd come with that old dark coat on, you know, and the hood over it, you know, and a big old bar's hide. But oh, look what it says here in 1 Corinthians 15:55. Oh, grace changed our relationship, transformed our relationship to death. Oh, death, where's your sting? Death, the stinger has been taken out of you. Oh, grave, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who gives us the victory over death, over the law, over sin, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you see, beloved? Before grace came, death was just a grim reaper. Now he's conquered foe. Now you know what he is? He's our friend to come to get us and usher us into the presence of our glorious and blessed Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to come, I'm going to take you to the Master. I'm going to take you to the Lord. I'm going to take you to the Lord. And then it changes our relationship to judgment. Bill read it tonight. There is therefore now, grace changes our relationship to judgment. There is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment to them which are in Christ Jesus. When you get up tomorrow, it'll still say, now. A year from now, it'll still say you're not under any condemnation. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, I came, that they might have life. And he said, he, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and he that heareth shall have life and shall not come into condemnation, but pass from death unto life. I mean, right now, no judgment. No fear of it. No dread of it. No danger of it. Now or ever. Huh? That's what grace does. And that's the kind of grace we stand in right now. Oh, bless your holy name, our blessed Savior. How wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully gracious, kind, and merciful. And your word, what power, what strength, what encouragement, what light, what life it brings to us. Oh, and thank you for the grace. Oh, for this blessed, blessed, eternal grace given us in our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for Peggy, for Ruby, for others among us who are sick, their bodies are weak, their bodies are frail. Ask Lord Jesus that it please you to give them strength in their body. Encourage them in their heart, in their soul, in their spirit. And Father, I pray for these dear saints here tonight that we would always, always look unto you, be found looking unto our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His name we bless you. Amen. Amen. Amazing grace.